Okay, yesterday we were learning the dinim of Malkus, Mincha. If you're in the middle of Al Chet and the Chazan goes to Kedusha, Yantzei Kodesh Baruch and Yimlech, like we learned. In the good old years, after Mincha, downstairs in 770, the last few, many years, would be on a platform. But the Rebbe would turn around and give the whole crowd a bracha for Erev Yom Kippur. Obviously, it was with a mic. Everybody, they heard it all over. I mean, those places that wasn't Yom Tif yet. So the Rebbe would give a bracha. And then in the later years, that bracha turned into actual a sicha. Not only did the Rebbe give a bracha, but he actually made a whole sicha. And at the end of the sicha, he gave it a bracha. And then, right before Kol Nidre, the Rebbe would give a bracha to the Bachrim. Bachrim only. So in the early years, it was inside the Rebbe's room. As the crowd got bigger, it was outside the Rebbe's room. It's called Gan Eden HaTachton. And it was packed. Then, when I was there already, it was in the upstairs Beis Medrash. Upstairs in the Zal in 770. Downstairs was already ready for Kol Nidre. So. And the Rebbe would come out, and the biggest pushing, Tkias was pretty bad pushing. That wasn't, they called it the washing machine. But the bracha for the Bachrim Erev Yom Kippur, because it was so many Bachrim, and the place is so tight, it was really crowded. In fact, when I was there, we used to be in the front row. So we were so wet, massive air conditioning, you working in 770, we were so sweated up from the bracha that when Kol Nidre was over and they finished Tilim, after Kol Nidre, the night of Yom Kippur, we were still sopping wet. That's how wet it was. But then the Rebbe used to give a bracha. It's interesting. The Rebbe used to give a bracha to the bracha. He had already his talus on, his kittel on. And the Rebbe put his talus over his head. And the Rebbe, they make a small platform for the Rebbe. And the Rebbe would give a bracha to the Bachrim, starting with Birchas Kohanim, Vayidah B'Hashem, Omeitah B'Avonah, B'nei Yisroel, B'Olehem. And then he would go into a bracha for the bracha, usually with letters of the Aleph Beis. and that was also, the Rebbe spoke into a mic, because the Rebbe wasn't before Shkia, it wasn't before Yom Kippur yet. The Rebbe speak before a mic, and it was broadcasted, downstairs in 770, upstairs in all those places that weren't Yom Tov yet. After the Rebbetzin passed away in Tavshim Memches, so the next Yom Kippur, so after Tavshim Memches, the Rebbe had to bench Shabbos Licht because his wife passed away. So the Rebbe used to bench Licht. And after the Rebbe bench Licht, he accepted Shabbos. Even halachically, he didn't have to, but the Rebbe accepted Shabbos. So when the Rebbe came out to the bracha for the Bachrim in the last few years, Tavshim Memtes, Nun Aleph, Nun Beis, those 4 years, the Rebbe didn't speak in a mic because it was already Shabbos, Yom Kippur for him. So then the Rebbe spoke without the mic, but the same thing, he came out with his talus and his kittel, talus way over the head, and the Rebbe would give a bracha. But, anyway, so therefore, after Sudam Afsekes, it's customary, some people do it every Erev Shabbos, that the father blesses the children and gives them a bracha. Many places they do it every Erev Shabbos. Okay, now, once you, like we said, you have to finish eating before candle lighting, because that's when it begins for women. Men technically can have a few more minutes until Shkia to begin Yom Kippur for them. But another interesting din, and this probably will apply this year also, and that is when the women light Shabbos candle, Yom Kippur candle, Shabbos Yom Kippur candle, no, Shabbos candle, Yom Kippur candle, sorry, Yom Kippur candle, Yom Kippur is Monday. So Sunday night when they light Yom Kippur candles, technically as soon as a woman lights candles, she accepts Yom Tov for Shabbos, which means she wouldn't be able to drive to shul, because it's already Yom Tov for her. So a lot of times what they do is they make a condition that they're not accepting Yom Tov by candle lighting. And then they have up to 10 minutes. Somebody has to accept Yom Tov for Shabbos. So they have up to 10 minutes to go drive to the shul of Chumim, wherever they go, wherever they have up to 10 minutes. But that's only if she makes a condition of candle lighting, not to, that she could drive. The men officially don't accept Yom Kippur until Shkia, until actually sundown. Okay, but you have to begin, you have to end the fast, because Shkia already is already what's called Ben Hashmashas, is doubted, that's when Yom Kippur begins. So therefore, even the men have to stop eating before Shkia a little bit. Okay, now, there's a custom that people light additional candles, so to speak. A married man lights what's called a lebedika licht, and then some people light, if they don't have parents, they light a candle, and they lit in the house, and some candles they light in the shul, not in this one, don't even think about it. And then we said that some people, in fact, even go to the mikveh after Sudam Afsekas before Yom Kippur begins. Okay, now, once Yom Kippur begins, yeah, but it's interesting, Chabad's custom, most people in the world, anytime there's Yisker, like Shmini Atzeres, Pesach, and Shavuos, so they light a yartid candle for Yisker. Chabad, the custom is we don't do that. If the previous Rebbe didn't do it, it's brought down, we don't do it. But I mean, people do it, they do it. It's not the Naveda to do. But our meaning is we don't light. But Yom Kippur, we do light for the parents that passed away.
Only on Yom Kippur?
Only, well, Yartik we do for the person's Yartik. But I'm saying just because they say Yisker, most people do. Right. Chabad custom is that we don't. Except on Yom Kippur. Yeah. In fact, there's another thing that everyone spoke in the Sicha. That, you know, you don't say Yisker on Rosh Hashanah. You say Yisker Shmini Atzeres, Yom Kippur Shmini Atzeres, Pesach and Shavuos, but not in Rosh Hashanah. So the Rebbe said, though, once in a Sicha, he said, I'm not establishing a Chabad custom. He said, clear, I'm not establishing a Chabad custom. But the fact is that the Rebbe's, before Tkiyas, on the second day, or on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, before they blew Shofar, they would quietly say Yisker. Nobody went out, they would just quietly say Yisker. And the Rebbe said, I'm not establishing a custom, I'm just telling you this is what Rebbe did. So by us became the minig unofficially that we do it. If you remember to do it, you do it. Okay, now, when you put on the talis and kittel, why do we wear a kittel? Because a kittel is what they dress a dead body in. The tachrichim is called, the shrouds. Yom Kippur, we're doing tshuva, we want to remember the day of death, you know, that we have to shape up in life. So therefore, there's a minig to wear a kittel. Svadim don't have that minig of wearing a kittel. It's an Ashkenazi custom. The Ashkenazim wear a kittel on Yom Kippur. We don't. It's interesting. In the whole world, the Chazan on Rosh Hashanah wears a kittel. The Baal Tekeah wears a kittel. The Baal Kriya wears a kittel. In Chabad, the only time we wear a kittel is on Yom Kippur. Not only that, our custom is that that somebody gets married, so by the chuppah you wear a kittel. Because again, to remind us, big demes, tshuva. A wedding is the Yom Kippur of life. Mechlin al kol chatov, the Gemara says.
Huh? Who wears it at the wedding?
The chasim. But our custom is we wear it under clothing, so you really don't see it. But in fact, our custom is that if somebody wears a kittel at the wedding, that following Yom Kippur, they don't wear it. Because they already wore it once. The only time we wear a kittel is only on Yom Kippur. And then everybody wears. And that's the custom. Okay, so now you wear a kittel and you wear a taus. Now because normally... What? What?
The Pesach said you also wear
kittel? No, we don't. I said the only time Chabad wears kittel is on Yom Kippur. Not Rosh Hashanah, not Pesach, not... most people do. I'm saying a lot of... That's different minhagim. It's just a minig. We wear a kittel again to remind us of Beged Mason, the Tachlichim, that it's a beta, you know, we have to do tshuva before we die. I can tell you the way we do it. A lot of people wear it open. By us, when the chassan gets dressed to go to the chuppah, so he wears his long coat, the kapata that we wear. And on top of that, he wears the kittel. And on top of that, he wears a coat. Summer or winter. 100 degrees outside. It's the Indian that the kittel. Now, most people just wear the kittel over the suit or the tux or whatever they're wearing. In Chabad, the custom is that we have a lot of interesting customs by a chuppah, how the chassan dresses. We don't make any knots. He undoes his tie and does his tie and his shoelaces. Anything that's tying, we undo it by the chuppah. It's a lot of interesting, but we're not learning chuppah now. So therefore, the kittel, and more so the talis, normally at night you're not allowed to wear a talis. But Yom Kippur, because it's the holiness of the day and we're like angels, so we have to make a bracha on the talis. But you need to make a bracha on the talis before sundown. Because once sundown comes, you can't make a bracha on the talis because it's already a doubtful night. And at night, you're not allowed to make a bracha on the talis. So therefore, you have to make sure, Yom Kippur, when you come to shul, you have to make sure to come before sundown. And therefore, you're able to make a bracha on the talis. Now, another interesting thing is, even though a kittel, that's what it's called, a kittel, is not holy at all, nevertheless, our custom is we don't go with it into the bathroom. Just like you don't walk with a talis into a bathroom, you take it off. Same thing, I made it, or a gartel for that matter. Same thing with a kittel. Now, technically, if you're wearing tzitzis, you're going to the bathroom wearing tzitzis. So why is a talis different? Why is a talis something that you don't wear in the bathroom? So in Halacha it says, the problem with wearing a talis in the bathroom is because it's a garment designated for davening. And because it's garment that you wear by davening, out of respect to davening, you don't wear the talis in the bathroom. But not that the talis has any holiness. The talis is not any more holy than the tzitzis you wear underneath your shirt. So, because it's a garment designated for davening, so therefore, based on that, if you wear a gartel for davening, you don't go into the bathroom with a gartel because it's a garment you wear only by davening. There are people that wear gartels the whole day. The whole day they wear gartels. So those people are allowed to walk into the bathroom with a gartel because they're not wearing it as a designated garment for davening. The same thing with a kittel. A kittel and Yom Kippur, bottom line, you wear when you're davening. When you're not davening, you're not wearing a kittel. When you go home, you don't wear a kittel. So again, because a kittel is a garment designated for davening, so the custom is you don't go with the kittel into the bathroom, not with a talis, not with a kittel, not with a gartel. And that's just the custom. No. What do you do Saturday night, slichas? The chazan wears the talis. Everybody else in the chazan.
No, I'm talking about the
chazan. The chazan wears the talis.
Oh.
I mean, I know it's Chabad custom. I think everybody else also does.
So,
yeah, because it's already.
Saying, let's say, even at nighttime, except we don't make a bracha.
We don't make a bracha.
Oh, we don't make a bracha.
No, you don't make a bracha. When you wear put on talis for slichas Saturday night, or in the morning, and that if it's already day, then you're allowed to make a bracha. Otherwise, you don't make a bracha. Okay. Pages turned. Okay, you put on talis before day. Okay. Now, ideally, before Kol Nidre, the proper thing is to do vidui again privately. To Hashemnu, the whole thing that we say by Mincha. So, because like we said yesterday, the real time for saying vidui is right before Kol Nidre, before Yom Kippur starts. Why do we do it in Mincha? In case, God forbid, somebody will eat something, get choked, and choke on it, and die. So we don't want to go into...
You said maybe doubly. You should eat time. Why not chocolate? Why not choke after you chocolate before you...
No, because vidui, the holiness of Yom Kippur, you want to be forgiven completely. So you go into the Yom Kippur, you want to be forgiven. That's what said the Shulchan Aruch.
You control performance.
Huh?
You control
during
lunchtime.
And Ochanami. Yeah. If you choke, then at least you'll have Mincha Mai. Okay, Machat Shim Zumai Zumai Mechabeva Mai Kinshim Lagal Tatum Kamakashim Lagal Tatum.